12. Wayne stepped out of the carriage, following Maxilium and Marcy. He looked up to the carriage man, tossing him a coin.
"We'll need you to wait a spell, mate. I trust it won't be a problem."
The carriage man looked at the coin and raised an eyebrow.
"No problem at all, mate."
"That's quite the hat," Wayne said.
A carriage man wore a round cap of stiff felt, conical, but with a flat top and a feather on it.
"We all wear 'em," he said. "Mark of Gavel's carriages, you see."
"Huh. Want to trade?"
"What? Trade hats?"
"Sure,"
Wayne said, tossing up his flimsy knit cap. The man caught it.
"I'm not sure."
"I'll throw in a pretzel,"
Wayne said, fishing it out of his pocket. The man looked down at the coin in his hand, which was quite substantial. He pulled off his cap and tossed it down to Wayne.
"No need. I guess I'll just buy another."
"Mighty nice of you,"
Wayne said, taking a bite from the pretzel as he sauntered after Waxillium. He put the cap on. It wasn't a terribly good fit. He hurried to catch up to the other two, who had stopped on a small hill. Wayne breathed in, smelling the humidity of the canal, the scents of wheat in the fields, and flowers at their feet. Then he sneezed. He hated filling his metal mind when he was out doing stuff. He preferred to fill it in large chunks. That made him very sick, but he could sleep it off and drink a lot to pass the time. This was worse. Filling his metal mind as much as he dared, storing up health as they went about, meant he got sick. Fast. He sneezed a lot more, his throat grew sore, and his eyes watered. He felt tired and groggy, too. But he'd need that health, so he did it. He walked across the grass. The outer estates were an odd place. The roughs were dry and dirty. The city was densely populated and, in places, grimy. Out here, things were just nice. A little too nice. Made his shoulders itch. This was the kind of place where a man would work in the field during the day, then go home and sit on his porch drinking lemonade and petting his dog. Men died of boredom in places like that. Odd that in a place so open he could feel even more anxious and confined than when he was locked in a cell. "The last railway robbery happened here," Waxillium said. He held out his hand to the tracks, which rounded a bend just to their left, then moved his hand along their path, as if seeing something Wayne wasn't. He often did things like that. Wayne yawned, then took another bite of his pretzel.
"What was that, sir? What was that, sir? What was that, sir?"
"Wayne, what are you babbling about?" Waxillium turned, inspecting the canal to the right. It was wide and deep here, intended for carrying barges full of food into the city.
"Practicing my pretzel guy," Wayne said. "He had a great accent. Must have been from one of the new rim towns, right by the southern mountains."
Waxillium glanced at him. "That hat looks ridiculous."
"Fortunately, I can change hats," Wayne said in the pretzel guy accent, "while you, sir, are stuck with that face."
"You two sound a lot like siblings," Marcy said, watching curiously. "Do you realize that?"
"So long as I'm the handsome one," Wayne said.
"The tracks here bend toward the canal," Waxillium said. "The other robberies all happened near canals as well."
"As I recall," Marcy noted, "most of the railway lines parallel the canals. The canals were here first, and when the tracks were laid, it made sense to follow the established paths."
"Yes," Waxillium said. "But it's especially striking here. Look how close the tracks get to the canal." His accent is changing, Wayne thought. Only 6 months back in the city and it already shows. It's more refined in some ways, less formal in others. Did people see how their voices were like living things? Move a plant and it would change and adapt to the environment around it. Move a person, and the way they talked would grow, adapt, evolve.
"So that machinery the Vanishers are using," Marcy said, "you're thinking they can't move it far on land?" They have to ship it up the canal and pick a place near the tracks to set it up and carry out their robbery?
Her accent, Wayne thought. She uses more elevated diction around him than around me. She tried so hard to impress Wax. Did he see it? Probably not. The man had always been oblivious about women, even Lessie. Yes, Waxillium said, hiking down the hillside. The question is, how did this thing, whatever it is, empty the freight cars so quickly and efficiently?
Why is that so odd? Wayne said, following him. If I'd been a vanisher, I'd have brought a whole heap of men. That would let me finish the work faster.
This isn't a question of simple manpower, Waxillium said. The train cars were locked, and some of the later ones had guards inside. When the cars arrived at their destination, they were still locked, but empty. Beyond that, from one of the cars, many heavy ingots of iron were stolen. There's a bottleneck at the car door. Beyond a certain point, more men wouldn't have helped. There is no way they unloaded hundreds of ingots in under 5 minutes, using just manpower.
A speed bubble? Marcy asked.
Could have helped, Wax said, but not much. You'd have the same bottleneck, and you can't fit many people in a speed bubble. Let's say you could have 6 workers inside, which would be really tight. They'd have to move the iron ingots up to the edge of the speed bubble, then drop the bubble and create another. You can't move the bubbles once they're up. And repeat. Wax shook his head, hands on hips. The cost in bend alloy would be incredible. With one nugget worth about 500 notes, Wayne can compress about 2 minutes into 15 external seconds. To compress time equal to 5 minutes on the outside, gaining you enough time on the inside to move all of those iron bars, you'd need to spend 10,000 notes. The bars would be worth just a fraction of that. Harmony, you could buy your own train for that kind of money. I don't believe it. Something else is happening here.
Machinery of some sort, Marcy said.
Wax nodded, walking down the hillside, scanning the ground. Let's see if we can find any traces they may have left behind. Maybe the machinery had wheels that left ruts or tracks. Wayne shoved his hands in his pockets and walked about, making a show of looking, but the whole reason he'd come to get Waxillium involved in this investigation was because he was good at this kind of stuff. If there were people involved, Wayne was quite handy. But flowers and dirt? Not so much. After a few minutes, Wayne was bored, so he wandered over to where Marcy was looking. She glanced at him.
I do have to say, Wayne, that hat does not fit you very well.
Yeah, I just want to keep reminding Wax he owes me a new one.
Why? You were the one who let the man take your old one from you.
He convinced me not to fight back,
Wayne grumbled. Seemed obvious to him.
And then he shot the guy wearing it, and the guy walked away.
He couldn't have known the man would survive.
He should have grabbed my hat, Wayne said.
She smiled, looking bemused.
Most people, they didn't understand hats. And Wayne didn't really blame them. Until you'd had a good, lucky hat, you wouldn't understand the value of it.
It's actually all right, Wayne said softly, kicking around in the weeds. But don't tell Wax.
What?
I needed to lose that hat, Wayne admitted. Otherwise, it would have been blown up in the explosion, you see. It was lucky it got stolen. It could have ended up like my duster.
You're a very unique individual, Wayne.
Technically, we all are, he said. Then he hesitated. Except for twins, I guess. Anyway, there's something I've been wanting to ask you. It's a little personal, though.
How personal? She asked.
Well, you know, about yourself and all. The personal kind of personal, I guess.
She looked at him frowning, then blushed. Seemed the girl did that a lot, which was just fine by Wayne. Girls were pretty with a bit of color on them.
You don't mean about me and you I mean...
Oh, Harmony, Wayne laughed. It's not anything like that, mate. Don't worry. You're pretty enough, particularly through the coppers, if you know what I mean.
The coppers?
Sure. Word with a lot of curves, like you. You have a pretty accent, too, and some nice bounce to you in the cloud area.
Dare I ask what that is?
The white puffy things that float high above the fruitful land where the seeds are planted.
She blushed even further.
Wayne, that might be the most crude thing anyone has ever said to me.
I strives for excellence, mate. I strives for excellence. But don't worry. Like I said, you're right nice, but you ain't got enough punch for me. I like women what could take my face clean off with a good roundhouse.
You prefer women who could beat you up?
Sure. It's a thing. Anyway, what I was talking about was your allomancy. See, you and I, we have opposite powers. I speed up time, you slow it. So what happens if we both use it at the same time? Eh?
It's been documented, Maracy said. They cancel one another out. Nothing happens.
Really?
Yes.
Huh, he said, wiping his nose with his handkerchief. Most expensive nothing a person could find, what with us both burning rare metals.
I don't know, she said with a sigh. My power is pretty good at doing nothing on its own. I don't think I really understood how pathetic being a pulsar was until I saw what your power could do.
Oh, yours ain't so bad.
Wayne, any time I use my ability, any time, I'll be left frozen in place, looking stupid while everyone else is able to run about. You can use your power to gain extra time. I can only use mine to lose time.
Sure, but maybe sometime you want a certain day to come along sooner. You want it really badly, right? So you can burn some chromium, and poof, it's here.
She looked embarrassed. I've actually done that. Chromium burns away more slowly than bend alloy.
See? Advantages. How big can your bubbles get?
I can make one the size of a small room.
That's way bigger than mine, Wayne said.
Multiply 0 by 1,000 and you still get 0.
He hesitated.
You do?
Yes, she said. It's basic mathematics.
I thought we were talking about allomancy. When did it become about mathematics?
That made her blush, too. You expected that out of a girl when you talked about her more attractive body parts, but not when you mentioned mathematics. She was an odd alloy, this one. She glanced to the side, toward Waxillium.
Now, him, Wayne said. He likes him smart.
I have no intentions toward Lord Landrian, she said quickly.
Too quickly.
Pity, Wayne said. I think he likes you, mate.
That might have been an exaggeration. Wayne wasn't certain what Wax was thinking in regards to Maracy. However, the man needed to get his mind off Lessie. Lessie had been a great girl, wonderful and all that, but she was dead, and Wax still had that hollow look to him, the same one he'd displayed in the weeks after Lessie's death. It was softer now, but still there. A new love would help a lot. Wayne was certain of it, so he found himself quite pleased with himself as Maracy started moving, eventually wandering over to where Wax was working. She touched his arm, and he pointed at something on the ground beside the canal. Together, they inspected it. Wayne strolled over.
Perfectly rectangular, Maracy was saying. From something mechanical.
The ground here was pressed down as if by something heavy in a square patch. It was apparently the only kind of track in the area, and didn't seem what Wax had been intending to find. He knelt beside it, frowning, and pressed his hand into the dirt, probably to check how compact it was. He looked up at the tracks again. Not enough footprints, Wax said softly. There's no way this was carried out with manpower, even if there was a speed bubble.
I think you're right, Marcy said. If the robbery happened right there, a machine could have remained in the canal and still reached the tracks.
Waxillium stood and dusted his hands off. Let's head back. I need time to think. Waxillium walked down the center of the passenger car, hands wet from scrubbing them in the washroom. The car thumped beneath him, Fields speeding by outside. Where would Miles be hiding? Waxillium's mind went in loops. The city offered too many places to hide, and Miles wasn't a typical criminal. He was a former lawkeeper. Waxillium's normal instincts would be off. He'll want to scale back, Waxillium decided. He's careful, judicious. Spent months between stealing the aluminum and making his next robbery. Miles had lost men and resources. He'd hide for a time. But where? Waxillium leaned against the corridor wall. This first-class rail car was made up of private compartments. He could faintly hear people talking in the one beside him. Children. It had been a long walk through 6 rail cars to find the one with an available washroom. Wayne and Marcy were in a compartment several cars farther along. If Marcy was right about the intended function of the kidnapped women, then a grim fate awaited them. Miles could afford to step back, let the trail grow cold. Each hour delayed would make him that much more difficult to find. No, Waxillium thought. He'll need one more heist. A quick one, perhaps without any hostages, to get more aluminum. Waxillium had looked over the original theft reports and had managed to make an accurate assessment of the amount of aluminum Tekiel had been smuggling. It would have barely been enough to outfit 30 or 40 men. That would leave Miles needing one more heist before going to ground. That way, he could use the downtime to make more guns and ammunition. That left Waxillium with one more opportunity to catch him. If he could set it up right. The scream was faint, but Waxillium had trained himself to be vigilant for such things. Always alert, especially when he was busy thinking. He immediately threw himself to the side, which saved his life, as the bullet ripped through the glass window at the end of the rail car. Waxillium twisted, pulling a revolver from its holster. A figure in black stood in the next car, looking through the broken window. He wore the mask again, eyes exposed, knit covering the rest of his features. The build was right, though, and the height, even the way he held his gun. Idiot, Waxillium thought. His instincts had been off. An ordinary criminal would have gone to ground, but not Miles. He was a former lawman, accustomed to hunting rather than being hunted. And if you caused a twist in his plans, he'd come looking for you.